WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Adobe Analytics says consumers spent a record $6.1 billion online on Thanksgiving. That's up nearly 9%. And stores are hoping that Black Friday can put them over the top. Shopify president Harley Finkelstein says that the first big holiday shopping weekend has grown from a singular event to a weekend jam-packed with ways to brand and try and drive you in.
What you're seeing is it's not just go into a store and buy something at a discount. There's far more engagement and there's far more ways to purchase. Social media is playing a big role here, but physical retail is definitely not dead.
Syrian jihadist rebels have reached Aleppo in a surprise offensive. The attack reignites Syria's front line for the first time in years. The Assad regime, Russia, and Hezbollah fighting to contain the advance. Russia launching a massive barrage across Ukraine on Thanksgiving, targeting its energy infrastructure as winter approaches, and Vladimir Putin is warning that the strikes could intensify. Shortened day on Wall Street today. The Dow gained 189 points. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. After Thanksgiving marks the beginning of the holiday shopping season, and all across the state, communities are taking part in Small Business Saturday. Ann Wiegman of the Wisconsin Downtown Action Council says there are great benefits to shopping locally.
You will come downtown and you'll realize that there really are some great stores downtown. And when you're shopping in that store, you're probably going to be waited on by the owner or the owner's wife or someone who's really worked there a long time. So they really know what they're talking about. Doesn't matter if you're shoe shopping or you're clothes shopping, you know, they know where that product was made or how it was made and what makes it special. And they really want to help you get what you want.
Wiegman says 90% of the downtown businesses in Wisconsin are owned locally, giving people plenty of options for local shopping on Small Business Saturday. Don't be fooled by delivery scam texts this holiday season. Melissa Kay reports.
The Wisconsin Better Business Bureau warns phishing texts or emails look like official notices from delivery companies. They either contain a tracking link, a message that the shipper is having difficulty delivering a package to you, or a link to update delivery preferences. Clicking the link takes you to a form that asks for personally identifying information or to a site that downloads malware onto your computer. Another scam is missed delivery tags. They place a note on your door that claims you've missed a package. It includes a number that you should call to reschedule your delivery. It's a ruse to get your personal information. To avoid delivery scams this holiday season, keep track of your purchases, don't click on links, don't leave packages sitting on your doorstep, and open your delivery right away to check for damage or signs of tampering.
Find out more at bbb.org. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to wgbw.fm.
The Packers ice the Dolphins. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a 30-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. Green Bay linebacker Quay Walker on how they were able to limit the Dolphins' explosive passing game led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa.
We just had a game plan. We just knew what it was for him. You get the ball out in like 2.5 seconds, so the ball is coming out fast. Pretty much go to his read, and anytime if it's not there, you're going back to away from whatever the case may be.
Miami once again failed to win a game in cold weather, unable to change the narrative. Head coach Mike McDaniel.
That's the thing with narratives. There's one way to change them. The naysayers, you prove them right, they'll be louder. That's part of the territory. You carry that until you do something about it, and unfortunately we didn't tonight.
In Chicago, the Bears have fired their head coach, Matt Eberflus, after he failed to call a timeout in yesterday's loss to the Lions. The team's interim offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, now named the interim head coach. Bears have lost six games in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and breezy all day today. Our high 26 with wind out of the west at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight down to 15. Tomorrow sunshine 25. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's all about comedy as I welcome Chicago comedian Pat McGann and host of MeTV's Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. And we get a sneak peek at a new show called Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
And welcome back into a special Black Friday edition of the Town Hall Ball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Friday, the 29th of November. Going to play for you now an interview we did with Brigadier General David May of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. They invited us up to Volk Field in Juneau County by Camp Douglas there this summer, talking to him and all the great folks that make the Wisconsin Air National Guard happen. We were right on the airstrip. Going to play that interview for you now. Enjoy it. We'll be back with live shows on Monday. Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allball. We are live here on location, as Terry Barr said, at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, just outside of, just yards away from the tarmac at Volk Field with the Wisconsin Air National Guard and several others. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, Mr. Zommers. It is Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. It is the camel not make it. There we go. The camel made it. We were afraid for a moment the camel didn't make it up here to Volk Field. Maybe there was some mix up with the civilian versus a military, but no, he made it as well. Mr. Zommers down in Madison, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square at the world headquarters. Zommers, I'm not sure what it's like down in Madison. It is an absolutely 10 out of 10 day here at Volk Field in Juneau County. How is it down there?
Gorgeous here as well. Very bright, sunshiny day, but in my opinion, not too hot, whereas some recent days
yeah,
it has
very
been.
Good. Just right. Just perfect. Zommers is going to be loading up the special Spotify playlist we have on standby at any moment, because our guest here, our first two guests at the table here from Volk Field Live on a beautiful day, is the interim adjutant general of the Wisconsin National Guard, Brigadier General David May. General, thank you so much for being so hospitable and having us back here at this Northern Lightning event at Volk Field.
Yeah, this is fantastic. To have this work out again 2 years in a row is great. And I tell you, these 2 weeks in August, this is my favorite place to be.
Well, ours too now.
Yeah. So let's make it a tradition. This is awesome. We have so much to talk about and to show you as the afternoon goes on.
Well, it really is. And also joining us here at the table, if you're watching on the stream, and of course you can see everything happening behind us here. We already had some aircraft take off and land. Joining us here at the table as well as Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, who is the State Command Chief. Chad, thank you so much. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. We always appreciate the fact that you help us tell our story, so we really appreciate that, you being here for our exercise.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, because I was as we were setting up here today and talking, and by the way, every single person here has been outstanding to work with. I mean, could not be more hospitable and friendly and kind and helpful. But as I was talking to people here today, one of the things, and we continue to tell this, is exactly what you said, the story, and that when we see things happen on television, and we're always careful, we talk to you folks here, that there are certain things you can and can't talk about, but anybody who watches the news, lots going on in the world right now. And when the call comes, it's our friends and neighbors here in Wisconsin who often take the call.
That's right. I mean, we're very much dual purpose, right? And we're here for our state and for our citizens, but also can be called up federally at any time to support any of those actions that are out there. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it is a busy time for sure.
General, for those that might not have been with us last year at this time, explain to listeners across the state what we're doing here today. It's called Northern Lightning. What does that mean? What does it entail? And give folks a little history.
Sure. So we affectionately refer to it as summer camp for fighter pilots, but it's a lot more than that. It's a tactical level fighter exercise that allows a variety of fighter units to come here and train at a peer adversary level. So for a potential threat like China to come here for 9 flying days over 2 weeks and hone the skills, work on the tactics, do the mission upgrades for pilots, do all the things required to essentially launch an air war twice a day for 9 flying days to make sure that we're as ready as possible, because that's ultimately what the public expects us to be, is ready for just about anything. And these days, that could be a lot of things.
Is it too simplistic as a civilian to call it kind of war games? I mean, it seems like there's a camaraderie up here, men and women who do these exercises. There's a level of fun to it, but it's also literally deadly serious.
It's extremely serious. And yes, it is essentially war games. We have a red force and we have a blue force, and they plan their missions separately, just like an adversary would with us on the other side. And then we launch, and they, in a very safe and controlled manner that doesn't involve actual missiles and bombs, they fight it out. And through the technology that we have here at Volk Field, they're able to do a very detailed debrief of what actually happened. So one side might win or lose, but then we come back and all the pilots sit in a room for hours and they go through the digital data that's provided, and they talk through what actually happened. Hey, here, you lost here, you won over here. This tactic worked here, it didn't work over here, and it's excruciating. These training days are really, really long, especially for the planners, the intelligence folks, the air crew, the maintainers. The day of a flight is just part of it. The pre and the post work that goes into it is extensive. So yes, there's a lot of camaraderie. There's a lot of fun and esprit de corps to be had, but it's very serious hard work.
Also, talking just off the record, or I shouldn't say that, but just casually with people here, and also just out in public, we've spent a lot of time this spring and summer traveling all over the state, particularly Western Wisconsin, and for those that might not have friends or family in the military, I think this is an important distinction, but keep me honest on this, General. There might be a perception by some that says, well, you know, our military, they want to have war. They're training to kill people. They're training, but keep me honest on this. My take is that the first and foremost mission of our military is to deter actual violence. And look what's happening, again, without talking about specific incidents. When you have a buildup and show of force, hopefully that prevents war from breaking out.
I couldn't agree more. So there's an old saying that goes something like, the most expensive thing to do is to fight and lose a war. The next most expensive thing to do is to fight and win a war. Mm-hmm. The most sensible thing to do is deter aggression through being ready. And that's our hope, is that by actually being ready and the rest of the world seeing us as an adversary that they don't want to tangle with, we can forego any actual conflict in the future. And that's what this is all about. You know, we have a potential adversary in the Chinese that have stated, a month and a year in the not too distant future for when they might take aggressive actions. And they've been provocative for years in that regard. Our goal is to deter them from that by making them realize that will not work out well.
Yeah.
I think the other part of that, too, is proving to our partner nations that are going to partner with us in any endeavor that we get into is that we're ready and able, right? And that we're going to be there for them if they need it. So that's a real key point, too.
I'm not sure which one wants to take this, but talk a little bit about, this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. And by the way, Brigadier General May, he comes from the air side. Now he's the interim adjutant general. He has to pretend. It's like my grandmother used to say. She said, Todd, you have to love everybody, but you can like some more than others. So, I mean, do you have a little bit more affection on the fly side of this?
Well, I was commander here for almost 4 years, sometimes referred to as the golden era of Volk Field. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah,
I,
you know,
I saw the statue on the way in.
I spent a lot of time here, and I love the people of Oakfield. Yeah. Many of them are still here. So personally, I have a very strong connection to this place. And I had a part in growing this exercise into what it is now. Mm-hmm. With a whole bunch of other people. So this is very personal for me coming back here. And I also acknowledge the importance of what we're doing here, which is not just about the Wisconsin Air National Guard. It's about the entire Air National Guard, really the entire combat air forces, which is essentially all of the nation's combat aircraft, being able to come here over the years and train. So,
well, talk just a little bit about this, the fact I got derailed there for a second, but this is not just the Wisconsin Air National Guard. You have folks from across the country right now.
We do. We do. And when Shaggy's on a little bit later, he can run through the roster better than I can, but we have a number of Air National Guard units from a variety of states. We do have some active duty here as well, including the Marine Corps. The makeup is different every year. We've had Marine Corps, Navy, active duty Air Force, Reserves, Air National Guard, to varying degrees every year. This year is very heavy on Air National Guard, which is great, because part of it is we also need to demonstrate to the Air Force that our part of the combat air forces is ready to go, and we can get some training done here that might not be able to be done anywhere else.
Yeah. Chief Master Sergeant Workman, talk a little bit about what your role is as the state command chief. What goes into day-to-day across the state in your role?
Well, I really try to keep my eyes on all things throughout our organization, really, and especially enlisted force issues, right? Lately, we've been really focused on working towards child care issues or providing health care and other things like that. Our recruiting and retention is a big one for us right now, making sure that we maintain the force that we need for this country. So any way that I can advise General May on issues that we have and try to get ahead of them to take care of our airmen, that's really what my role is in this organization.
I want to get your thoughts about 2 minutes here before the first break. Two things struck me when I walked on base today, as some of these aircraft were taking off earlier. On one side of me was, I believe, a 97-year-old World War II veteran that you all had come up here because his dream was to see aircraft take off like that. And on the other side of me were teenagers from high school that were coming here to learn more about the military and recruitment and the Air National Guard. It gives me goosebumps the juxtaposition of those two things happening simultaneously.
Yeah. This base has been here 70 years, and we are absolutely part of the community. I met a gentleman once who lived in a farmhouse over on the north side, and he told me he used to ride his bike right across the base, right across the runway, to get to his piano lessons over at Camp Douglas once a week. And he said, "I'll bet I can't do that anymore, can I?" I said, "No, you cannot do that anymore." But there are deep, long-standing ties between not just Oakfield but the Air National Guard and our communities. You're going to hear more about that as some of our other folks come on and talk about that. But it's very, very powerful.
It really is. For someone it's kind of a military version of Make-A-Wish to see this veteran from World War II that God bless him is still with us and has the opportunity to come out and sit right here on the tarmac and see a dream come true at 97. How cool is that?
Yeah, and so easy to do. His, the timing was fantastic. You want to see one? Well, we could show you about two dozen here real quick, depending on what time of day. So, yeah, so things like that are fantastic, and we relish, sustaining and building those connections throughout the community because like I said, we are enmeshed in the community.
Yeah, it really is. We're going to come back, and I want to touch a little bit on, I know we're going to do this deeper down on the show today, on recruitment, because there are so many opportunities for folks. And good news for all of you that might not be spring chickens, a little late for Todd, but if you're in your late 30s, still a chance for you to serve your country. Going to come back live from Volk Field here in beautiful Juneau County with the General. And more. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for Wednesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones.
for you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
No matter how you say it, Berenson's Candies in Green Bay has been synonymous with Christmas tradition since 1925. That means a trip to Green Bay without Berenson's Candies could get you in a lot of trouble. Stock up on your favorites like Meltaways, Pecan Turtles, and Angel Food. When buying your candy this year, you better make it Berenson's. The Berenson's family wishes you a Merry Christmas season. Berenson's Candies, 200 North Broadway in Green Bay. The chocolate people dream of, no matter how you say it.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us on the Todd Allbaugh Show on Black Friday. Here's another part of Todd's trip to Volk Field for Northern Lightning earlier this summer. Enjoy.
And welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on location at Volk Field here in Juneau County, central Wisconsin. That is the Wisconsin, or that's the National Guard team, I should say, here. Going through all the service academies, or at least some of them. Glad to have you along with us. And you can see behind, watching on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, also known as X. You can see the actual airstrip behind us here. We are what, General? Maybe, I'm not good at this, 100, 125 yards away from the actual timer?
Yeah,
about, something like that?
Yep.
All right, very good. We could have a takeoff at any minute, ladies and gentlemen. We're very, very. I asked if I could fly, and they said, "Sure, if you want to pack your own parachute." So I said, "No, I'll just stay on the ground." We have Brigadier General David May. He is the interim Adjutant General of the State of Wisconsin here at the table, and also Chief Master Sergeant Chad Workman, the State Command Chief, with us as well. Gentlemen, I want to talk about this a little bit. We just had some. I'm assuming high school. People go by us here on this tour, have a lot of young people here today. Talk a minute. I heard today that there is a $50,000 signing bonus if you select a certain career path, in addition to getting your college paid for. I mean, these are outstanding opportunities if you're the right fit.
Absolutely. We've always had amazing resources available for people that enlist in the National Guard, and it's only gotten better on the Air National Guard side. We have these very large bonuses, like you mentioned. So today we have something that's called an Airman Experience. All three of our bases do it, where they invite out high school age kids along with their parents or their teachers or whoever wants to come with them. They're all a little bit different, but the idea is to showcase some of the 200 or more career fields that we have in the Air National Guard and see if something clicks with one of the young folks. And also just to meet our people and see what they do so that they see that it's just a regular person who made that decision to join this organization. Now they get to do this incredible thing. Like I often say, we're ordinary people that get to do extraordinary things because of our choice to join this organization.
Yeah.
And Master M. Powell is going to come talk to you. She's one of our recruiters here, and she's walking around there with some kids. But these events are fantastic. In terms of inspiring people to think about at some point joining one of the branches.
Yeah, Chief Master Sergeant Workman, when did you kind of decide to get involved, sign up?
26 years ago.
Oh. Was there anything? Was it just something in your family? Was it something that you felt called to do?
No, that's actually a good segue. So I did a program called Air Force Junior ROTC, and I'm actually from West Virginia, and that's where I graduated high school. But they really gave me my pathway into the military, really helped me find my why and why I wanted to be a firefighter in the Air Force. So that was kind of how I got there. And it's a great segue because as we've been in this recruiting environment, it's kind of forced us back into the communities. And a lot of these students here came from Chippewa Falls high school area, which we've had partnerships with and a lot of good relationships. And we're actually trying to get an Air Force Junior ROTC in Chippewa Falls High School. So,
well, there you go. For all those listening on WCFW, the TAP at Chippewa Falls in the Eau Claire area, maybe an opportunity for there. And also FHR, our Wisconsin Rapids station, which is probably the closest here as far as the crow flies here to Volk Field. So any of those people listening to any of our stations, let's say that you know we have someone, a grandmother or a parent or even a young person listening today. Maybe, as I said, what the age is now, what, 42? You can
42.
Still sign up.
42.
I missed it by that much.
Dang it.
But I think this is great because, again, I've said this before, one of my few regrets in life is I didn't serve. And I think people in their 30s that said, well, what's in the – how should I say this? Why would someone in their 30s, beyond just you know the stipend, I guess, or the salary, what is the available to someone that might be not your average high school recruit?
So the same opportunities are available to them, and we have people on the space that have joined in their 30s. In fact, we have a science teacher who is in our weather flight here doing weather, which is one of the more intricate career fields that we have. Lots of training, but it's a great career field. And now he aspires to be an officer potentially. But it's an augment professionally and also personally to what they're doing with the rest of their life. Obviously, someone that's closer to 42 is going to be at a different point in life. You know, kids and a mortgage and a profession, all that stuff going on. But there's still room for a guard career. People do it all the time. Guard people are very busy. They're good time managers, and the guard service is, it's a nice supplement to everything else they do in their life, and it's an outlet to learn new skills. And it does open up access to resources like healthcare and education, and an additional pension down the road. But it's not the demographic that we normally go after. But it is absolutely an option.
Give us a quick update, General. Last time we talked to you, you had applied for the new aircraft down at the air refueling wing in Milwaukee.
Yes.
Give us an update on that, if you could, please.
Yeah. So, we are still very much in the hunt. So, as a reminder, 15 states are competing for one opportunity to convert to the KC-46 from the KC-135, and that's what we're after for Milwaukee. The short list will be determined probably by the end of next month. So we're really getting down there. We're right down to the wire. I'm happy to share that our entire federal delegation have supported us in terms of signing a letter, and they're on board supporting and highlighting how great of a choice Milwaukee would be. So we're very appreciative of that support. And now it's coming down to the decision makers getting together and seeing who's going to be on that cut list. So we feel confident. We know that we're a great choice, and we would serve the Air Guard and the Air Force well with the KC-46.
When you mentioned this, my understanding is you're having some of the elected officials from the state here a little bit later on base. Not a lot of things bring Americans and Wisconsinites together anymore. You just mentioned the entire congressional delegation, Republican and Democratic, signed this letter of support for the new aircraft in Milwaukee. And I still believe in my heart of hearts that by and large, our men and women of our American armed forces are the one thing or one of the few things that do bring people together from partisanship or from partisan aisles.
Absolutely. And we're an apolitical, nonpartisan organization, of course, but we get support from elected officials who come from parties. So there's a there are some things we need to be careful about there, but you're right. And to have our entire delegation come together on this item and support us is fantastic. And that should make everybody feel good about something. Anytime we can find common ground like that is a win.
Amen to that. 2 minutes left, gentlemen. What have I not asked you that you want to make sure we share with people across the state?
Chief might want to give you some Chinese before we leave here.
Are you fluent?
He's a bit of a Renaissance man. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
I love this.
Not fluent, but he might be able to order us a beer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm
give me a little. How would I ask for a Spotted Cow, my local beer?
Oh boy, I don't know if I've got that.
All right, our pleasure. Stay tuned. More from Volk Field live on a Wednesday. It's the Oddball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Work on requests for the state budget gets underway in December. Terry Barr has more.
There's a group focusing on the importance of the arts in Wisconsin, and it's getting ready to advocate for more support during the upcoming legislative budget process. Create Wisconsin is a nonprofit based in Madison and trying to expand opportunities in the arts across the state.
It's an investment in people, businesses, organizations, and communities. People are really hungry for that authentic, unique. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to nurture and to assist.
Ann Katz is the director of Create Wisconsin. She says the Badger State remains in last place when it comes to arts funding and support.
Everybody wants their community to be vibrant and healthy and have people visit and live there. And so we try to help people figure out what they need, and then we figure out how we can help them.
A post-election recap and pre-budget planning gets underway next week. Learn more about Create Wisconsin. Go to createwisconsin.org. I'm Terry Barr.
Wisconsin State Parks are moving to a new 12-month admission pass. Brittany Merlot explains the difference.
It's something that's been available in surrounding states and will now be here in Wisconsin, starting Monday, December 2nd. The new pass, available for purchase, will be valid for an entire year from the day you buy it, when previously all passes expired on December 31st, even if you bought it just a few months prior in October. With the new pass, let's say you purchase it in February. It'll be good until the following February. The pass will be marked to indicate the month and year in which it'll expire. People are encouraged to save time by buying their passes online. Orders placed online will receive an email receipt with a confirmation number that can be used immediately for park entry. I'm Brittany Merlot for Civic Media News.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickin Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy all day today. Our high 26 with wind out of the west at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight down to 15. Tomorrow sunshine 25. On Sunday, partly cloudy with a high of 32. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
On the next New Wisco Weekend, we're bringing back one of our favorite issues. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. It's all about joy, happiness, and simple ways you can share it.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us on the Todd Allbaugh Show on Black Friday. Here's another part of Todd's trip to Volk Field for Northern Lightning earlier this summer. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live here at beautiful Volk Field in Juneau County, Wisconsin. That's off General May's Spotify playlist, Mr. Zomers. What did you dial up there?
The Full Bug by Van Halen.
Oh, very good. These are hitherto unknown facts, you see, that the General's given us these playlists, and so we like to play them to prove that even generals are real people. So it's always a lot of fun. Welcome back here. Those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter can see behind us. We are about 100, 125 yards away from the actual tarmac here at Volk Field. We appreciate being allowed to be a little bit behind the curtain and bring this all to you and across the Civic Media Network as well. Thank you to General May for being here, first of all, and Chief Master Sergeant Workman. We are joined now at the table live by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Koob, and he is a great F-35 pilot. He is call sign, just like, you know, in Top Gun, it's Maverick is a call sign. Call sign Germ. Germ. We'll leave that out
there.
That's
what said.
We'll leave that out there.
That's great.
Colonel, thank you for being with us, and welcome to the
pleasure.
Program.
Thank you for having me, Todd. Yeah.
What a beautiful day to fly.
Oh, this
at
week.
Least on the ground from this perspective.
I mean, it's this past week, and this week so far has been wonderful.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of good training up here. And, you know, I'm obviously from the state. The units that are here from elsewhere, boy, they really have been having a good time here. The hospitality in Wisconsin has been wonderful, and the weather has been perfect.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Colonel. Did you grow up here in Wisconsin? How did you first get involved in flying and in the military?
Yeah, Todd. Well, let me caveat this first by saying I didn't choose to be born in Illinois, but that's where, for some reason, I was born. And like any good Wisconsin person, I got out of there as quick as I could. I saw the light. No, I did grow up in Illinois, but as soon as 9/11, the events of 9/11 really shaped me, and I think shaped a lot of the generation. It's hard to believe we're already the old generation now of the military. But I joined after 9/11. Mm-hmm. I was already a civilian pilot. I had my instrument commercial, CFI, II, multi-engine, all that going through college. I'd fly anything for free. 9/11 happened at the start of my sophomore year down at University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And I said, you know, I really feel called to serve now and do something in the military. And it was the advice of an active duty friend of mine who was a C-17 pilot in the active duty who said, you need to join the Air National Guard. And so few people know about this opportunity that you can join a unit. Before I signed the paperwork, I was knowing I was going to fly F-16s here in Madison. And that led me through about 13 years of flying those and then into the F-35 for the last 4 years.
What has it been like transitional? General May has talked about this, but going from the aircraft of the F-16 to the F-35, I mean, it blows my mind as someone who can barely drive my Dodge Ram with computers and that. I mean, to learn the technology, what's that like to retrain yourself?
It's a lot easier than you think. So, you know, when you I think there's two good comparisons. Those of you who are old enough to remember the 80s, I remember growing up in my mom's Oldsmobile Cutlass, you know, that had vinyl seats. I think in the late 80s or 90s, we borrowed a neighbor's car phone, which used to come in a duffel bag that you know, was the size of a football. You plugged in the cigarette lighter, cost you $1 a minute to talk on. That's kind of, you know, our airmen do a phenomenal job maintaining the F-16s we had. Those were 86, 87, and 88 models. They looked brand new inside, but the technology was still, you know, generations old.
The F-35 is more probably like driving a brand new vehicle today, or like a Tesla, where you've got a flat panel display. Yeah. Everything is electronic, but a lot of that automation comes along with it. So from a pilot perspective, it's actually a lot easier to fly. You know, I've flown 2,000 plus hours general aviation. I was actually a SkyWest pilot before I joined the military, flying the Embraer 120. Mm-hmm. And so I've flown a lot of civilian stuff. I've flown military stuff now, T-6, T-38, F-16s, and now the F-35. F-35 by far, the easiest airplane I've ever flown. From a flying pilot perspective, super simple. Any private pilot out there, even student pilot, I think within an hour I could put them in a sim and fly just fine. It's
That's very incredible.
Easy.
That's
so
really incredible.
What that means is now the pilot can spend a lot of that time that used to be devoted to just managing the airplane, trying to maintain your altitude and control your throttle, now auto throttle. Autopilot's all HOTAS, so it's on the throttle and stick. Turn that on, and now we can focus on the mission systems.
And we're always careful, and so you just stop me or say, I can't go there. We're always very careful about what you guys can talk about, you know, on the air. But my understanding, my very, very minor civilian understanding, are there are different models of the F-35 where someone can actually do the vertical takeoff like that. Is that the type that you guys are working with, or is that not the ones that are in Madison?
So technically, there are three variants, the A, B, and C. The way I remember, that's the F-35A. That's the Air Force version. That's the one we fly. That's the one that is almost all the foreign sales. When we talk about the 20 or so countries that have either bought or are in the purchase or process of purchasing the F-35, that we're talking the F-35A. That's the conventional takeoff and landing. The B model is the one, it can't truly take off vertically, except in emergencies, unless it's a STOVL, so a short takeoff, vertical landing. That's the Marine version has that, the B model, and there's a few countries, I believe it's Italy and Singapore, about a few of those as well, but relatively small numbers. The C model is the carrier. That's the U.S. Navy and U.S. Marines that are here right now flying the C model. The distinguishing features on that is slightly larger wing. The wings actually fold, and then it's got the dual nose gear as well and beefier landing. Their hook is designed for routine use, of course, for carrier operations. Our hook is for emergency use only. So those are the three different variants.
Got it. So General May was talking about this and these training exercises. My layman term is a war game type of situation.
Right.
And, you know, my sense is, but tell me as a pilot, someone who's actually doing this, there's some camaraderie, but it's also literally deadly serious because you could be in situations where it's your life for the other person.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, those of us who grew up like myself in the global war on terror generation, you know, I think we became very good at what we were doing in the Middle East over the last 20 years. But, you know, we were facing an adversary in an uncontested environment. What that means is we weren't countered in air. We didn't have a significant surface-to-air threat. As we look at the next fight, whether that's going to be, you know, Iran and Israel with Hezbollah heating up possibly as early as, who knows, this weekend. You look at a fight in the Middle East again against Iran, for instance, or you look at a Russia scenario, or a China is the one we're really concerned about. You're looking at a fight that's going to be very challenging. So what we try to do at an exercise like this is simulate kind of a peer adversary approach and how we can maximize our strengths. It's not unlike a professional sports team or like a football team, right? F-35 is optimized. It can do a lot of missions. You know, it's the jack of all trades, if you will, kind of like the F-16, but it can't do all of those well at the same time. So we look at ways to optimize our strength, integrate with F-16s, using other assets too, the Navy, for instance, how we're going to use the tankers to get to the fight, execute the mission, and hopefully, you know, minimize our losses to achieve the objective.
I also talked a little bit about as well that everything you said obviously is 100% true. Is there also a component that the hope is to never have to go into actual active combat? And the hope is that training exercises like this and show of force actually deter actual conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the highest ideal of the warfighter is to prevent war from occurring. So, you know, it's hard because in the military we've kind of, celebrated the fact, you know, those who deploy, you know, those were always like big things in CENTCOM. And there was a lot of ego in there too, like who dropped the most bombs. But realize, like, not dropping bombs is the goal. The goal is that the U.S. military is so strong and such a force that our adversaries look at it and say, you know what, that's a higher cost for me to pay than I'm willing to pay for what I want, because I know the U.S. military has the ability to completely annihilate.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
so that's,
yeah. And keeping the peace through a show of force.
That's right.
And also, I think encouraging, you know, maybe people might be more likely to sit down and talk to each other if they know that things are not going to end well if they go the other route.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Michael Germ Kube. He is an F-35 pilot. We're here at the Northern Lightning Experience at Volk Field. General May said, don't let Germ sell you short here. He said, I think the exact phrase was, don't let him sandbag you. He called you one of, if not the top F-35 pilot in the United States of America.
Oh, I think that's overrated. Thank you to the general if he's listening still. But I think, it's this career here in the Guard. I can't, for all the listeners to say, if I can do this as a guy who, again, growing up in Illinois, sorry, you know, Illinois public school education. It's certainly a path. If this is what you feel like you're called to do, the state has been wonderful for me. It is for a lot of our airmen who, you know, military service wasn't in my family history since World War II. So when I felt that calling and I suddenly saw this whole world out here, I mean, I can't speak highly enough about the opportunities the military has given me. They've been very good to me. And our airmen across the state, opportunities like, you know, aside from all the benefits of just free healthcare and, you know, free education and all the benefits that you get from joining, just the camaraderie and the constant growth you have. That's really what it is. I think that's what people miss the most when they retire, is that you're around each other. You're always, you know, challenging each other to become a better version of yourself. And every day you're finding new ways to operate tactically, new ways to perform better in an airplane. And that, I think that kind of carries over to all phases of our life. We challenge each other to be better versions of ourselves every day. And it's been an adventure. You know, I've had 6 wonderful deployments, 4 to combat zones, 2 where other theater security packages are called, have been TDY all over the world. That is short deployments. We have a state partnership with Poland. So technically Illinois is the state partner, but we fill the flying mission since we had F-16s and now they're getting F-35s. We have F-35s. So opportunities to go over to Poland pretty much every other year for the last 10 or so. So there's just so many neat opportunities that it's a whole world out here.
I think that's something, again, I mentioned before, one of my great regrets, don't have a lot, but one of them is I didn't serve. And I had the opportunity to work for a member of Congress for a while and do military affairs and spend a little bit of time in D.C. And that's really where I developed my admiration and appreciation for everything you all do, because I got to see some of the things the general public doesn't see and all the hours you put in and relatively speaking, underpayment, in my opinion, for what you guys, what you folks all do. What would you tell someone, a young person or maybe not so young, that's thinking, gee, that sounds neat. What would you say to that person?
Yeah.
Both, by the way, men and women, boys and girls. You've had, I believe, Captain Eagle on
sure.
this show before.
Yeah.
And she's just a kick-ass pilot.
Yeah, she is.
And,
yeah.
So this is not a career. Yeah. If you want to be Army National Guard Air National Guard
sure.
pilot, it's open to both men and women, boys and girls.
It is, absolutely. So the first thing I would say is there's opportunities later in life to do all the things. I mean, one of the problems right now, the airlines are hiring great. I've got a lot of pilots in the squadron who are very interested in that path. And, you know, if that's what they want to pursue, that's another option. You can be a part-time guardsman in the F-35, still fly for the airlines, which is kind of neat. But what I would say and what I do say is there's opportunities later in life to do all those things. And there's a short window in your life where you can go live this adventure. And it can be as short as 4-year enlistment. It could be for pilots, it's a 10-year commitment post-pilot training, but some of that could be part-time. And then you've got the rest of your life to pursue airlines, to pursue, you know, civilian careers. Mm-hmm. So you can basically restart a whole new career at the back end. And you always have that camaraderie, those memories, those friendships, as well as I think the pride of saying, hey, I served. I was one of the less than 1% that served, even if it's for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's special, and you'll have that bond. The second thing, your other part about applicants, you know, we have hiring boards for F-35 pilots. Like I was hired off the street, more or less, so undergraduate pilot training. Captain Eagle was previously a intel officer, and we hired her from that crew field. But no matter what route you take, we have about 196 applicants is what we had last year. We hired 4 out of that.
Wow.
It sounds like a tough odds, but remember, those are the same 196 applicants who are probably applying to all the Guard units
right.
and the reserves right. around the country. So hang in there on that. But yeah, it's a mind-blowing number of how few females we have apply. So out of 196, we had 4 female applicants last year. So, yeah, less than, it's a 2%, which, you know, maybe fighter aircraft aren't as appealing. I mean, there's some physiological challenges in flying long fighter missions for females, no doubt. But that being said, it's certainly a career path, you know, that...
If you want to do it, you can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we have 3 female fighter pilots right now in the squadron. One of them has been on maternity leave for a while. And then, of course, we have Strike and then Banshee as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's certainly open to everyone. And like I said again, if I can do it, you can certainly do it.
You want to try a couple of calls? And people, I mean, we can
screen them. I'm happy, yeah.
All right. If you ever wanted to ask a fighter pilot a question, give us a call. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And you can text us on the Civic Media app. Back with Germ right here at Volk Airfield after this on the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us on the Todd Allball Show on Black Friday. Here's another part of Todd's trip to Volk Field for Northern Lightning earlier this summer. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live at Volk Field. Yes, just like Top Gun, although they were Navy pilots.
That's right.
But still close enough. But we love it. We love that theme song. Well done, Mr. Sommers, back at the World Headquarters. For those watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, you can see behind us here the great airstrip. Well, we're about 100, 120 yards off of the actual tarmac, where at any moment we could see aircraft taking off. More importantly, here at the table, we are joined by one of the great pilots of our F-35s based at the Truax Field in Madison. He is Lieutenant Colonel Michael Koob. Call sign is Germ. If you have a question for this great pilot, give us a call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. And let's see here, Colonel, we have the first question here from, let's get back here. This is from, I believe it was Matt in Germantown. Will you take me for a test flight?
Matt, I'd love to. Unfortunately, the F-35A, B, and C don't have two seats, so it's going to be a little tight there.
Here's a caller from WAUK in Waukesha. Do you ever crank up Danger Zone? Speaking of when you're flying, or are you just sick of that song?
I wish if Lockheed Martin's listening, I would love for them to put maybe a Bluetooth audio system in the cockpit. That would be helpful. Unfortunately, I don't have that. And to be honest with you, when we're going out on most of the sorties, there's a lot more kind of focused, and you're kind of in the zone, if you will, but not really the danger zone, in the focus zone on trying to get the mission done.
All right, very good. On the phone lines, one more here off the text. Tyler listening in Columbia County on WMDX in Madison. My question for the airmen is, have they ever wanted to fly over Oshkosh during the EAA since it's right in our backyard?
Yeah, well, in fact, I have. As a lieutenant, I did bring an F-16 in there, I think 1 or 2 years in a row. And then departed it, you know, or left Oshkosh, which is a lot of fun. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm glad you're making it to Oshkosh. It's a great show. Hopefully you saw the Wisconsin Guard demo this year.
Yeah, I heard that
Thursday.
Was great.
We did a great demo, included the Army and the Air Side. So again, if you have the chance to kind of see all of our airmen, these are your neighbors and local citizens, you know, putting on their war face. And operating for Oshkosh was kind of fun.
Then our local station there, WISS in Oshkosh, always does a great job every year covering the EAA. I believe we have Karina on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Karina listening in Milwaukee. Karina, a question for the colonel here regarding planes versus drones. Go ahead, Karina.
Hi, it's maybe very silly, but, you know, watching the movies, there are so many drones with the bombs, with the spy, with the technology, with the help coming through and dropping it off. So do you feel like they taking over some of your stuff you guys doing?
That's actually a great question, Karina.
That's a great question, Karina. It's so funny. This morning at breakfast, I was talking to one of the Intel folks about, you know, the future of war and how it's evolving. Like you, I've been seeing a lot of the same footage in Ukraine and whatnot, and these drone operators dropping munitions from significant heights, you know, clearly outside of audible, the guys on the ground. So it's a great question. I don't know. How do I feel as an F-35 pilot? I think there's still a need for the F-35, but there's certainly a growth for technology and really countering drones. I mean, we see 1 or 2 drones with ammunition. You see how deadly that is. Imagine if you had a swarm of 100 drones. How would you deal with that threat? And I know there's a lot of technology going into that, some, you know, lethal type kind of direct energy weapons, as well as jamming in different types of ways. So I don't know. I think there's still need for fighter aircraft, though. We provide some things that the drones can't. That's a great question.
855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you have a question for Colonel Koob here on F-35s, being a pilot. Let's go quickly to CJ in Stoughton. CJ, just a reminder, we cannot get political. We're on a military base here, but what do you have for the Lieutenant Colonel?
You betcha, Todd. You bet. Well, I first want to thank the Colonel for his service. I guess what an exciting and dangerous job he has. I believe in peace through strength and trust and verify, and that we should have the biggest and the best military. I don't know if that's political. I hope so. Or maybe not. But I guess, where do you go when you train? Do you, because I love the sound of freedom when it takes off in Madison. Yeah. I fought for you. I wanted you guys here, and I just wonder where you go and how fast do you go when you train?
Thanks, CJ. Appreciate it.
Thanks, CJ. Yeah, and thanks for the support. I mean, that means a lot. And I know a couple years ago, briefly, when we lost Hawk in an accident in December 2020, I get emotional just thinking about it. When his remains were brought back to Madison, the outpouring of support there, I mean, there were at least 1,000 people in January of 2021 lining the road. So I know there's an overwhelming majority of support that's pretty silent, or silenced by a vocal minority about our presence there. So to answer your question, the first thing is our airspace is predominantly this airspace right behind me here. So if you look at, if you go to skyvector.com and you look at the zoom in on Wisconsin, you'll see the Volk Military Operation Area, that complex. That's where we train about probably 80 or 90% of the time. Other times we'll go down to the Howard MOA, which is in central western Illinois. And then even out towards the Pike Alpena Complex, Grayling Range out in Michigan, or even up north this week, we've been fighting up in the Big Bear Ontonagon Complex. That's up by Rhinelander, northern the UP. So we go all over the state. And then I just, to piggyback on your question and to remember, I love everything you said. It sounds like you're a big fan. Sounds like a lot of the things that Ronald Reagan used to say, peace through strength, peace through superior firepower.
And we thank Brigadier General David May and all the great people of the Wisconsin Air National Guard for hosting us for Northern Lightning. What a spectacular time we had there. Make it a great weekend across Wisconsin. We'll be back with an all-new live show on Monday. Did I get my iPhone on Black Friday? Find out Monday for Zommers. I'm Alba.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's all about comedy as I welcome Chicago comedian Pat McGann and host of MeTV's Tune In With Me, Bill Leff. And we get a sneak peek at a new show called Wabino Volunteer Fire.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.